Welcome back to Two Gals in a Glass Half Full. Today we are going to be talking about stress. And I think all of us have some sort of stress in our lives. So I'm really excited about our guest and all the information she has to share with us. But before we get started, Dr. Jess, what is in your glass?
Today I have moved on to my smoothie, and it's got a lot of good stuff in it. I could do like we just do the frozen fruit just because right now it's a little bit easier on our time to do frozen fruit. And then protein powder and chia seed, ground flax seeds, some microgreens. I've been making my own cashew milk. It's got like it packs a punch, and I love it, and it fills me up. So Dr. Bobby, what's in your glass?
I am having just some good old plain water.
I like it.
Nothing fancy this
That's
morning.
okay. That's okay. And with us today, we have Kristen. And before we do intros and get to a little bit know a little bit more about Kristen, Kristen, what's in your glass?
I have just a black coffee, a black Americano. Yeah.
There we go. I like it.
Yep.
Kristen, do you mind telling us a little bit about you?
No, not at all. I am a therapist and entrepreneur. I have a therapy practice called Counseling Works, and we're located in the western suburbs of Chicago. We have three locations: Naperville, Frankfurt, and Lamont. And we're actually in the process of opening a fourth location currently. I am a mom of a college junior and a 12-year-old black lab. And I'm somebody who, just tries to take good care of themselves and other people around me. So,
That's
I love
awesome.
that. Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things that we like talking about as far as like, with our in our podcast is, we're all about making small, sustainable steps to living a more wellness-based lifestyle. And so that's not one thing that is going to get us there. It's actually a lot of little things all combined. And we know that stress is just so prevalent in how we operate as humans, and really trying to get a handle on what are sustainable steps that we can take with decreasing our stress, chronic stress. We've done episodes on not all stress is bad. Some stress is good. That's what, the fight or flight gets us away from an animal when we're being chased or, something scary. But more of that chronic stuff, right? So what I was gonna say is, how do you define stress, right? Like, what is this like? What like how would you even like say what is this?
Well, it's funny because I think in doing some like review for this podcast, I was thinking just globally, life currently is stressful, like across the board. And I don't like even if you're going on vacation and you have a job that you like and you are in a good relationship, there's traffic, there's Instagram, there's people who are not patient, there's waiting in lines. So I think globally, life is just stressful, and I think it's stressful for everybody. And some of the stuff that we talk about in therapy is a lot of times we are constantly overriding our central nervous system to meet the needs of the demands that we have going on. So I think, sometimes we might be tired or, didn't get great sleep or didn't drink enough water. And we're constantly over, instead of taking a nap and relaxing, we're kind of overriding our natural thing because we want to, it's the hustle culture and just always pushing past our boundaries.
Yeah. Oh, I'm guilty of that. Like, I'm not gonna say like, I
Well,
think we all are at some point,
and I think that that's part of what makes us successful is that we're, people who are able to, let's call it separate from the pack, and are people who kind of did what other people didn't want to do, worked harder, allegedly. And I think that all of that comes at a price. So, I agree with you. I think having self-care rituals like in the morning, and like just really setting yourself up. I don't think there is one prescriptive thing that you can do to just feel better globally. I think it's all of those little things.
Absolutely.
Yes. So what are some, like, when we're feeling stressed, what are some symptoms where we can like look at ourselves and realize, oh, That's like stress coming up. I need to do something to take care of it or to help
Okay.
decrease it.
Yeah. So I think some of the stuff, so really just stopping, you know, some stuff that you can do just anywhere, anytime is stopping, breathing, and grounding yourself, kind of looking at a tree, feeling your feet on the ground, just getting into your body. A lot of times anxiety is about what's like future happening. And in the moment, you're actually okay, but you're, you know, I would say anticipating anxiety, anticipating being late. So I think grounding, and you can do that 300 times a day. You know, you can do that at any point. We do box breathing. I don't know if you've talked about box breathing before, but inhaling for four, holding for four, exhaling for four, and holding for four. That kind of box breathing, doing that 8 to 10 times in a row, really can de-escalate your nervous system and, you know, kind of set you up to get focused on for the next piece.
Yeah, I like
I
that. Absolutely. Like anything, it's so like breathing, like something that's I think we downplay breathing. It's so useful and helpful. It
Well,
keeps us alive,
yeah.
one thing,
Well,
right?
yeah, well,
But then
that's
like
true.
the
We've overlooked that, yeah.
exercises you can do, it's like you can do it anywhere. Nobody knows you're doing it, right?
That's
Like
exactly right. And I think that's exactly right. And I think we have so much control over our nervous system that we don't own. And so we kind of pass it over to, you know, the clerk that's taking a long time, or, you know, the person that cut us off in traffic. And I think doing simple things to de-escalate yourself. So really, sometimes it's just about noticing where you're at. Taking a couple simple breaths, rinsing your wrists under cold water. Just, you know, sometimes before a meeting, if I know it's a big meeting, I'll just do like a quick, you know, couple minute breathing. Or I don't know if you've ever used Insight Timer. I really like the 5 minute quick breathing things where you're just listening to somebody and kind of tuning out to the things that are going on in your head. So I think all of those things, super simple, but when you do them, they really help.
absolutely.
I
So tell
find.
us more about that internal timer. What's that?
So I think, you know, if you're escalated, sometimes listening to somebody else's voice and just kind of allowing yourself to just really almost disconnect, listening to somebody's voice. So Insight Timer is just a free app. And they have like 5 minute breathing, or, you know, they have a bunch of different breathing ones. And I like to do them like in the morning if I'm feeling rushed. It's funny how even taking that 5 minutes out of your day to reset helps you function more in your body and more effectively throughout the day. So I don't know. I think that's a quick, easy, simple app that I use.
Nice. I've never heard of it. So but I always feel like, when you're stressed, so I think a great example is when I'm going somewhere with my dad. My dad is one of those people that's like, no, dad, we're like 15 minutes late. It's okay, So inside I'm like, oh, like this. And so like sometimes I have to like take a deep breath and like just kind of let go and like realize like I can't control that we're late right now. And it's not helping me to be upset and frustrated. And really the only person being affected here is me because my dad could care less that we're 15 minutes late. So like that's where like those breathing like really comes in play for me to kind of calm my body down and just let it go. And it's okay. I can't change this current situation. So like calm myself down so I can get there and be present and not be angry, upset, frustrated, walking in like a, what do they say, a bull in a china shop, just like, ah.
Well, and I think that that's a great point, just like reframing the situation. I mean, because in the truth, being 15 minutes late really isn't that big of a deal. And I know that as somebody who like wants to be on time and wants to show up, we take it very personally. But I think letting it continue to affect you past the point of the 15 minutes is not, you know, it's not helpful, and it's not relationship, you know, developing. So yeah, taking a little bit of time, realizing what you have control over, what you don't have control over, and then trying to reframe it. And you know, it's almost a lot of times self-talk. So instead of being, you know, saying, "Oh, I missed that turn, like I'm so stupid," it's like, "Oh, now I get to take the scenic route to the bookstore." It's like allowing yourself to make a mistake, take a little bit of time, and not having to be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the acceptance of imperfect is like one. I don't know why many of us struggle with that. But it's funny because now that I'm a parent, right, and I'm raising children, I'm constantly trying to teach them like it's okay that we're not perfect. Like we don't have to get frustrated that we didn't tie your shoes correctly the first time. Like you did really well. You got steps one and two down. Right? Struggled a little with three. No big deal. Last week, you didn't even have one and two. But then I realized, then me, right? I'm like, then I'll be like frustrated when I'm doing something. I'm like, like I'm living in a glass house right now and I'm definitely throwing stones.
Well, it's funny. I would say I'm very similar. You know, maybe you have more grace for other people and internally you don't have that same. Have you ever had your kids talk to you the way that you talk to them? Where it's like, "Mom, it's okay, take your time." And you're like, "Wait." And you realize that they're learning that because, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so we didn't grow up with that, like, high EQ kind of thing going on, where you know my dad was like, "We gotta go." You know, it's time to go. So I think it's a little bit different, and I think in learning just like where to place our priorities, and we can't be stressed about everything. I mean, there literally is so much that we can be worried about, and so really just focusing on our locus of control, which are the things that we can change and that we have effect on. And almost like having faith or just trusting that if we do our part, that all of the other things are going to fall into place.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it's interesting how willing we are to give power and control to other people. And then we feel like we're trying so hard to do something, but we're giving our power away, right? And so it's like, well, no wonder I'm in a cycle because I'm the only one that can actually make me feel better and find my balance and what's going to happen. So it's interesting how, I don't know. And I see this a lot. I mean, I work with patients all day and they'll say, well, my back is still hurting because like, there's no way I could do, what these changes because of X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, what? Like, huh? So it's like, well, at least, this is not just me that does it, like,
Well, I think, okay, I totally agree. And I think I think we unconsciously kind of give away our power. It's not like we're maybe making this conscious choice to
Oh,
do it. I
it's
think
not on
sometimes
purpose.
we're just, we're just like letting people. My favorite is like, "Okay, I'm cold. You're not cold. You're hot. You're not hot." It's like, "No, I know what I am." And I think trying to just like honor our own limits is a big part of stress. So I do think that there's definitely I think, you know, you talked about it right at the top, is that there are different kinds of stress. I think there, you know, even a good situation or a positive situation could be viewed stressfully. But because I think it gets us going, it stress like pushes us past our limits. And I think there is a sharpening that happens. And, you know, when people, you know, I think you have to push yourself. It's like, "I don't want to get up today. I don't want to brush my hair." It's like, if you just continue to push yourself and, you know, take a shower and get ready, it's like you've created a new environment for yourself. I think when it's toxic is when you're constantly overriding your central nervous system and you're not really dealing with, you know, why you don't want to get up. It's like maybe you don't like your job, or maybe you're unhappy in a certain situation, and instead of looking at what that actually is, it's like we kind of beat ourselves up because we're not feeling whatever way we perceive ourselves as needing to feel.
I think a lot of times we're our hardest critic.
Definitely. And I think, you know, other people, what we accept from other people, it's like, "Oh, someone was 10 minutes late because they stopped by with a train, they got stuck with a train, or they, whatever it is, didn't, they said, oh, I'll finish, we talk about in therapy, like, I'll finish my notes later this afternoon. Just giving ourselves that grace too, that we would give to other people.
Yeah, I think being able to, my brain always thinks in like, diagnostics, right? And so like, I just it's always like working in an algorithm of like what do we need to do? Why do we need to do it? Make a plan, implement. And so when I think of stress, right, and I think of myself, part of what I've had to do to recognize my own stressors and how I respond to stress was to really understand the diagnostics of the situation, right? Is this a situation where I really do need to get this done, right? Like you're on a timeline. This is like, this has to happen by this time today, right? So that elevated heart rate, that like, that, okay, now we're just going to do it. We got to get it done. Like, let's just go. That's different than like the person that cut you off or the email that you read that you're like, what in the world? Right? Like, that is not what I said. Like, you misunderstood me, blah, 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 blah. Right? So, like, I'm having this conversation. There is nobody in the room. Like, I'm frustrated. Right? Like, that is where I'm like, whoa, hold on. This isn't, it's not helpful. Is my response in the moment going to get me to where I want to go? Right. And so,
Yes,
or is
and
this
it's
response going to have me cycle? Right. So now I'm going to complain about this email all day long, right? About this email instead of
and share it
resolving
with
the
everybody.
situation.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. And I think, okay, so even in what you're saying, I'm thinking of chunking it down. So it's like if you have a something you need to do that day, I always like to make sure where I have like a list of my to-do and then I star like the top three things that need to be done. 'Cause then I know if
Triage.
those things are done, I'm gonna feel whole. Exactly. And then I think, it's funny, like our need to be right, need to be things to be fair, for things to, for, to be seen, for people to understand where we're coming from. Sometimes, like that's not maybe more important than our peace. And I think sometimes we get stuck on that cycle of, if you loved me, then you would agree with me, or you would see things my way. And I think really being able to take a step back from that, not engaging in that. And one of the things that I like to talk about is like if you have a bad story or a difficult situation, like sharing it with just three people. So instead of going around and telling every person that walks in the door, like, oh, so and so sent me this email, it's like, okay, if you need to talk about it or process it, that's one thing. If you want to just complain about it, that's one thing. But instead of like consistently like swimming around in the mud, like letting it go, I'm a huge fan of writing a response and not sending it because I think that like taking a step back and taking some of the energy out of the response can actually get you might be completely right in everything that you're saying, but if other people can't hear it or it's too, then it doesn't really matter and you're kind of doing yourself another disservice. So, there is definitely an art and I think that comes from like a maturity. It is, am I showing up as an adult to adult situation or am I reacting in a way that, I just want to be seen, heard, agreed with? Yeah.
I like that idea of like writing the letter, but not respond, not, because then you have time to calm down. You have voiced your opinion. You have gotten it off your chest, but you can then like analyze later on, do I really need to send that? And if it's something that, yes, I need to send, now I can go back when I'm not so emotional. I can go back and reread what I wrote and I can fix what needs to be fixed to be more professional, less accusing, to like get my point across.
Yeah, less primal. And I think sometimes it's like, because I think sometimes our responses create more stress for us. And so taking that step back, and if you ever looked at it, looked back and said, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't send, X, Y, and Z, email. And I'm glad that I like took the time. And I think when you're not in that, like, fight, flight, or freeze mode, when you're able to like reflect, you're able to just see it differently too, you know. And it's, I think a lot of things we're putting into like life and death scenarios where it's like someone just didn't agree with us, and that's okay too.
And one of the strategies that I use, as well as I have my, I call them like my safe people. So that way, like no matter, like they can come to me, I can come to them. And, like Bobby's one of my safe people. And so she knows that if I'm one of, because like you do need to process something that is frustrating. Like you need to get that out. And but your audience is really important, that it's not somebody that's going to take that as like, oh, you're hurting me because, you're processing with me, because, that can get a little bit uncomfortable as well. So, but what I'll typically do is I've got, somebody in my life that is very honest with me as well, that I'll be like, can you put eyes on this email real quick and see, is there a way that it could be read incorrectly? Because the first one was. And so, is there any way that, like, I have tried to reframe, redirect, whatever it was, but clearly the way I wrote the first one, I'm gonna take my ownership, right? Like, somehow what I wrote came off in a negative way, and it wasn't my intention. So, is this response, like, could it be from your perspective, And so, having like a neutral party that was not part of the interaction at all, either call you out of like, whoa, like, are you like trying to point a finger here? Like, or,
Are you trying to?
yeah, I'm like, no, like, I'm not. Like, well, here, let's work on this sentence. Or, no, like, you're good. There's no way, shape, or form that this could be perceived as negative from my perspective, right? And so then it's like, either way, I feel more likely to send, because like, if one thing blew up already, well, why am I going to like do the same thing? It didn't work the first time, so let's not recreate that same mistake. So, it's like, sometimes it's not your mistake, right? Sometimes it's just the party, and that and there's
Well,
barriers to that.
I think, yeah. So I think sometimes people take things very personally, and sometimes it is just like the way that it hits you on a certain day, and you know, who knows why. I think that's a great, you know, having safe people, having people where I know, like with my sister, I would say, okay, are you venting or do you want feedback? Like that's something, because sometimes we just want to say like, oh, this was so blah blah blah, and I had to wait and I had to wait, and you just like get it out. You know, it's almost like a couple minute dump of just like the, you know, traffic or whatever, but then, and then you're fine. And so you might not want feedback. I think sometimes we do need to process, and having safe people where you feel like, you know, my int that you can articulate kind of my intention, and you can hear how other people might be viewing it. You know, we're not always right. And I think another thing is that sometimes we seek out people who will, we will give us the response that we need. Like I'll use an example. Like if you want to buy a pair of shoes, you know who to call, who's like, get those shoes, and who's like, oh, is that a good decision? So sometimes we're also like, you know, choosing people to give us the feedback that we're looking for. But I think like in terms of dealing with stress, this, you know, we all will be misunderstood. Nobody's perfect. I think, you know, and especially in this day and age where everybody is showing like their highlight reel on Instagram and how great everything is, and just by proxy that your life is not being shown that way, like we start to feel bad about, okay, well, all my dishes aren't done and my bed isn't made perfectly every single morning, or, you know, so then you're already starting off in a deficit. So I think taking more time to be with yourself, be quiet with yourself, just kind of get to know like what are you enjoying, you know? And I think just and even having fun, like just doing things without, you know, playing a board game or going for a bike ride or doing something that's, you know, not gonna get you anywhere. It's just about enjoying yourself and spending time with people that you love. So
No, I love that. And I think that kind of like brings us to that question of like, Are there like in different like ages, right? Like different age ranges. Are there like different strategies to kind of think about?
Well, okay, so I guess I would say, like, when my son, I mean, he's still growing up, but like when he was, in junior high and elementary school, we would do breathing together. Like, we would do, I think just we tend to run like a more anxious. So I think we would do box breathing together. I think, we would do, like, and all of those simple things, grounding. It's like, I see a tree, I see a bird in that tree. Like, you're getting back into your body. So just all these very simple things. And then I think sometimes with kids, it's like talking them through just other coping skills. So maybe getting like a book that teaches them how to deal with stress that they're like seeing at school, or how to manage different things. I mean, sometimes the stress comes from not having tools to deal with the problems that you're facing. So if you are, talking with, if a kid is talking to their parent about how a kid at school is not being nice to them, or instead of, of course, parents, we want to like rush in and solve the problem, and I wanted to do that too, and definitely, and but I do think that like empowering your, like listening to them, giving them an alternate perspective to look at, of like, maybe you're not seeing this about this kid, or, maybe this kid, doesn't have a great home life and tries to have power by acting out at school or whatever that is. I think giving them strategies, so being able to talk to them about, okay, so next time this happens, like just being prepared and having just like a flat answer to like just stop that, those sorts of conversations. Because I think kids too, it's like they want to be right, and then they want to engage, and it's like that's not going to be helpful. So I think lots of times it is about, also too, it's like, what can you do to change that situation? Just even a kid in that, well, babe, you can just say, you know what, I don't want to play with you if you're going to talk to me like that, and you walk over and you play with a different friend. So, giving like have empowering with them, and almost doing a little bit of role playing with them too. So that when they're in this situation, they feel prepared. They're like, I've done this before. I know how to do this.
Yeah, no, I love the role play with kids. I think it's like one of
Yeah.
the easiest ways to get them to actually see their power in the situation. Because I think that's the one thing that kids really don't know is that they do have
Yeah.
power. Because, right? At home, the parents are
They're very
control.
good at giving their power away, and there's definitely a hierarchy, and how, and especially as kids like developmentally get into later elementary school, junior high, that peer, it starts to be so powerful, and people are dictating your life. And to realize, even in those situations, you can be empowered in those situations. And that, I think, is really the best thing we can do to support our kids, is having honest conversations with them, reflecting back that you believe that they can solve this problem, and that you don't need to come in and rescue it. And then at some point, I mean, I think you can tell the difference between just like a relational issue at school versus like, as a parent, I need to address what's happening. But I think there's a lot of things that really help towards the development of emotional growth. And I love the example that you used early on, like tying your shoes. As your kids get older, you like want to like caretake them, and but it's like anything that they can do for themselves, you should let them do. So then it's like you might not be wearing the same shoes or whatever, but it's like you were able, like you are now empowered by your choices, instead of me like, well, babying you and taking care of you in ways that I don't need to, because I trust that you can take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
I think it's really easy as parents to want to do that for them. And I know with my daughter right now, she's 9 months and she can feed herself with her hands. And I was thinking the other day, like I always take the spoon and do it for her, and she's showing signs that she wants to do it. But in our head, it's like, well, it's not efficient. The food goes all over you. I don't know how much you're eating. But then just last night, honestly, I was thinking I have little forks and spoons. I was like, but you know what? She's never going to learn if I don't let her. And so, like, I was thinking about getting the forks out so she can learn to kind of stab the food and bring it to her mouth. But if I don't give her those opportunities, if she's not exposed to them, but it's easier just to handle it yourself. It's easier
Well, it's easier until it's not.
now.
I think that's
Correct.
the yeah, it's easier now, and then I think it's a yeah, it's then I think it becomes more difficult, but raising kids is actually about putting good products and good people into the world who are self-sufficient and can manage their personality and manage relationships. And again, not perfectly, but feel like they have the tools to be able to do that. I think I would say I'm going to speak for myself, but like as a parent, it made me, especially as a working mom, it made me feel good to like maybe overly caretake or overly do stuff because then I'm still, a good mom. But that's not real. I would say that's not real. And I think it's really about parents tolerating their own distress about situations. And instead of being, I kind of hear what you're saying, like it's messy or it's not efficient. It's like, yeah, but it's fine and it's going to be okay. And,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and I think that's, we can relate to that, like a food and physical, and learning that skill. But then if we look on the mental side of things and dealing with relationships and stress, if we don't let them experience it and then help them through those times, it's the same thing. If I never give her the fork to, she's never going to learn to feed herself. If we don't teach them how to cope with stress, how to manage when a friend gets mad at them, if we don't let them experience that, they're never going to learn and they're going to turn into adults that don't know how to do that.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's so funny because I think this is really where like therapy comes in. Therapy is, I think I kind of talk about it. It's like we are raised in the families we're raised in, and we learn what they have to teach us. And so we have some tools, and then we go out to the world and we have like a broken hammer and a rescue crew. And we're trying to like have these great relationships and these great businesses. And so, how do we learn those? And it's not that, our parents came from different generations and then we were raised in a different generation and then we're raising our kids in a different generation. So, I think things that our awareness, our experience, change so consistently. And I feel like therapy is a place where, especially with excellent therapists, where we can create rapport with other people. Practice having difficult conversations, really kind of check our expectations of ourselves, check our expectations of others. Is this realistic? And I think lots of times giving ourselves permission to kind of let ourselves off the hook a little bit and say, I'm doing the best that I can, and there really is no more that I can do. So I think that therapy is so important, and especially for people who get more towards like the burnout stress where they're not bouncing back as quickly. I know that they said there's a statistic out there where it said that 21 out of 30 parents are feel burnt out. So when you feel burnt out, it's like you can't get enough sleep separation from what it is you're doing to like bounce back and feel that level of resilience. And resilience is just like being able to bounce back after traumatic things. And I think, kind of going back to the nervous system and how we keep overriding it. And then, oh, well, resilience is now kind of a dirty word where if, instead of being something where it's like supportive and a hallmark of health, now it's like you just need to keep, doing and performing so that you seem resilient. So I think just like managing our own expectations.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to not feel alone, right? So this is something that everybody struggles with. This is not like there's nobody that's immune to this. And the good thing is that there's small strategies that you can use and implement, like at any point in time. Then there's those consistent strategies that you implement that you actually implement into lifestyle, right? So first thing in the morning, like what does my self-care routine look like? And all of the other different the grounding techniques that just becomes like once you start adding one thing in, it honestly turns into habit. Like you don't even realize you're doing it. And then
Yes.
it's now it starts actually becoming something that is how you live. And there's going to be parts that like that challenge you and you're like it throws you off kilter. But like just like grounding, for example, is something that I personally find so helpful. And I notice I do it on my runs. I do it with, with my kid in the car and, all of this stuff. It's like, oh my goodness, like, did you see that like really cool bird in the tree? It was making such a beautiful sound. Like, what kind of song do you think that is? I don't know. What kind of song do you, so I'm running and my son's on his bike and we're talking about bird sounds. And then we're like, oh, did you hear more birds? Oh, I think I heard a different type of bird. And then it's like all of a sudden we're like in this like world where the birds and the clouds and the sunshine, and it's like it's not just like a run on pavement. Does that make sense? Like
Yes,
that run
definitely. Well,
is
you're starting to
totally different.
open up that little world between the two of you, and that like deepens the experience.
Right.
It's so funny. Another thing, like I think being grateful and also looking at all of the things in your life that are working. I mean, I think like when I go out and work out, I mean, even as basic as like I'm grateful for being able to move my legs. Like I'm grateful for being able to be to have time and money to be able to go to a class and leave feeling like I filled myself up a little bit. And, or, you know, someone holding the door open for you and saying good morning. It's like all of those beautiful things about life, like just enjoying it instead of trying to get to that, you know, it's not just about the run. It's like more
There's
complex
so
than
much
that. Yeah.
more to it. And it doesn't mean that like there's not going to be all of a sudden something that's like kind of like, oh goodness, I remember this and I remember that and I forgot to do this and da, 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 like it's like, hey Siri, remind me. Right?
Yeah.
Which sorry, she just turned on. But like in that moment, like I get it, all of like real life is still there, right? And so
Yes.
it's okay to just like, hey, I'm going to put that on a reminder so I can let go of that. Right? So it's going to come in. I don't want to forget those. Put that in and then okay, cool. And then I have to reground all over again. But you know what? Reground all over again. So in that run, I might have
Yes.
to do it
Yes.
multiple times, right? Like
Yes.
it's not like you ground once and you're like, "Okay, I'm here for an hour," right? Like
And honestly, it could be hundreds of times a day. And I think until you get, you know, that practice and just getting better at it and letting things go. But I think there are certain times where your anxiety, based on the time of the month or the weather or sleep or whatever's going on, that you might feel more stressed just with daily living and yeah, having to reground, yeah, multiple times a day, hundreds of times a day, yeah.
it's not wrong, right? Like it's like just if there's a technique that works, use it. And if it like you need to use it again, use it again. You might have to take breaths
Yes.
multiple times to get through something that is not pleasant, right? Like
Yes.
your heart rate's starting to
Yes.
elevate again and you're like, I really don't love being in a crowded space. I need to be here because of X, Y, and Z. So do it again. Like do it again.
Yes.
Do it again. Then all of a sudden you survived. And then it's like, oh,
Yes.
well, maybe nothing bad happened.
Right. Well, I think sometimes it's so funny. There are lots of times, I'll say like planking or doing something where it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But like our mind wants to give up before our body lets us. And so sometimes I'll just try to switch my perspective and say, like, this is fine. I got this. And it's so funny how your body kind of like catches up to you and will stop like arguing with you to get to the other side of it. Yeah.
I would say
I'm
like as
a
long as like one of us isn't losing the argument, I think we're okay, right?
Yeah, that's
Awesome. Well, I definitely like appreciate like all of this conversation about stress. I think it's
Yeah.
something that like no matter what, like I mean, we could literally talk about stress every single episode. It's so common, it's so prevalent, it's so harmful if it's not if we don't manage it well. And I do think that's the beauty of mental health because that field has professionals that this is what they do. And like you can
Yes.
capitalize on feeling better. And it doesn't mean that you're taking a pill. It doesn't mean that you're gonna have to have a surgery. It's there's like nothing like that. Like literally just with working with professionals and the mindset reset that can happen and the tools and the strategies and everything that you learn. I mean, it's life changing, like life changing.
Definitely, definitely. Well, and I would say for myself, it has been, and I like what you said. I think just to be honest about how stressful life is globally for everybody, whatever you have, whatever you don't have, it just is globally. And then I think finding just a handful of things that work for you. And so if it's like waking up in the morning and having a glass of water, it's like, making your bed, it's like I started the day hydrated, whatever that is. And so like as you then you start to develop your like stress busting tools for yourself, and you know that, okay, I might need to take a 20-minute power nap so that I can deal with this difficult conversation later this evening, and like just resetting is going to help me. But I think that's, yeah. So I think there's all these exciting things that we can do, and therapy is another part of it, is just being transparent. And talking, just being honest about, our life and how it's affecting us, and how we can actually learn to be better and not just seem better. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
now, Kristen, is your practice, is it in person only, or are people able to do virtual?
yeah, we do both. We really do a hybrid model. I think that, like, I think, virtually is great just for flexibility, but I'm kind of old school in the fact that I think that I love like in person. But yeah, in all of our offices, people, we have a hybrid model. So our clinicians are in person and then do telehealth sessions as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's awesome.
Well, we'll
And
make sure
so,
to
yep.
put all your links below.
Excellent.
And that way, any of our viewers, if you're looking for some help, please reach out. Their help is out there. You don't have to keep living stressed, overwhelmed, burnt out. You don't have to live like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is not like you do not have to be there. I've been there in the past. You don't have to stay there. You really don't. And if this episode is something that you found helpful, or you can think of somebody in your life that might find this helpful, please share it with them. And you never know what that like. And when somebody is in a stage of change, how many times they have to hear something before that change actually happens. So you can be part of somebody's stage of change of being that one more like, hey, I listened to this. I found it helpful. You might find it helpful as well. Not like we don't shoulds, so we don't point fingers at people. Right. But like if you honestly do feel like it would be helpful to somebody, share it. I mean, it's just like free knowledge, right? And it might make a difference. That's the
For
goal.
sure. Yeah, they say you have to hear something 7 times to hear it for the first time. So, where it might seem like, we've had all these conversations. Truthfully, I think how someone hears it on a certain day based on where they're at, people really can change, and people really do change their life and start to feel empowered. So I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Kristen, thank you so
Well,
much
my
for coming
pleasure.
on.
Thank you so much. I
Yeah.
appreciate it.
Yeah. Super helpful tips. I love the box breathing, that the app that you talked about, the 5 minute timer.
Insight timer, insight
Insight timer.
timer.
Insight
Yeah,
timer.
I think that's a great one. Yeah, free app. You can do it anywhere.
Yep. So just like a couple like simple things that can be implemented today for free. Grounding techniques, obviously for free. So there's ways that you can really start to get a handle on stress that doesn't cost money,
That's right.
so that's like kind of great,
Yeah, it sure is. It sure
yeah.
is. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, stay tuned for next week.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.